This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another podcast of Thoughts Become Things. I'm Jeremy Lopez, and I'm so honored and thrilled, as always, for you guys to be with me today. So honored and excited because I know that some things are happening in our lives that are turning us and bringing us back to success and abundance and victory. That's what we're here for, right? Is to discover who we are, discover what we're called to do, and live in that overflow. Think about that. When you put water in a glass and you allow it to continue to flow, it's going to overflow. We have got to be able to realize that inside of us is the kingdom of God, which is an overflow, which means anything you touch or do in your life or think should always overflow. It should never be just enough of what I need. It should always begin to bring to you an overflow, right? Because that's what the kingdom of God does. That's how God created you, because everything in you actually should always bring a multiplication to anything and everything you think about, you touch, you see, you hear, you smell. Why? Because you were created to be like God in the sense of always having multiplication and overflowing out of you in all things, right? So I want to share with you a little bit today of things that I believe will help you, and that is basically us finding your life. You know, a lot of people say, I don't really know where I belong. You know, what does finding your life mean to you? So I want to talk to you on that level today about finding your life. And sometimes when we hear the phrase, you know, finding your life, we think, gosh, man, in what area? Like, I mean, I don't know what church to go to. If I do go to church, if I don't go to church, I don't know what kind of music to listen to. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know what, you know, where I'm supposed to be living. And sometimes it can be very overwhelming to people, but you have to remember that, yes, according to like law of attraction, we do attract into our lives what we think. And if your mind is always on an overload of thinking, maybe in a place of confusion because you don't know where to start, you will literally attract more confusion into your life, right? It's a known fact. So you want to be able to focus on things. And the Bible is really cool because it says this. It says, you know, focus on things that are pure and lovely and praiseworthy and good report. No matter if it's something is like, hey, this team won. Hey, that's a good report. Let's talk about it. You know, hey, this TV show is awesome, man. You got to watch it. It's so positive. Hey, let's watch it. Let's do it. You know, it's anything you think of. So it's not just about reading the Bible. It's about him making a plan. Anything that's praiseworthy, anything that's a good report, anything that makes you feel good and that's a positive, really healthy feel good. Hey, you know what? Think about those things. Why? Because God knew that you would attract more of what you're thinking into your life. So no wonder why God said, hey, I tell you what, you think about these things, you will set yourself up for the rest of your life to be able to attract all the things that you've been thinking today. So whatever I sow, I'm going to reap back in my life, right? So I want to sow good deeds. I want to sow good things into my mind, into my life, into my body, and also not just into my life, but I want to sow good things in other people's lives. Why? So they will be able to see a light in me that actually shows them how to be able to live the same type of lifestyle, of knowing how to contemplate and think and structure my mind to always think of things that are positive and of good report. So when we deal with basically trying to find your life, a lot of people, once again, gets very confused because they don't know really where to start on that. So I want to give you guys some points today. This is actually coming from my book coming out here, probably not in the next 3 or 4 months, and it's called Finding Your Place. I'm writing a lot of books because, as you guys know, I have a dynamic staff and team of people that I write a book every single month. And for those of you who are not on my Hot Off the Press Monthly Book Club, you are missing out, because we have hundreds on that program where every month, in the USA only, by the way, they will receive a brand new book from me every single month. And we're not talking about, folks, a little tiny hole-in-the-wall book. We're talking about a good thick book that's at least probably 200 pages or more, because you deserve content. You deserve quality and quantity, all right? And so every month I write a book on something new and different and have revelation poured into it. And so many people on the program are like, Jeremy, they're changing my lives. That's the goal, is to have your life changed and shifted to where you will think outside the paradigm you normally think in. So you'll be able to think outside the comfort zone you normally live in. You'll be able to get outside the, you know, of this box that maybe you or other people have placed you in. And the thing is, we always need to be sharpened by people that don't just agree with us. We need to be sharpened by people who don't agree with us. We need to be sharpened by new ideas, new opinions that we've never heard before. It keeps you alive. Think about it. It really keeps you living an abundance of life when you're always challenged with things you've never heard before, you've never known before, and things you've never done before. Because that way you're always keeping up with the Joneses, not literally in the Joneses in the sense of whatever they have down the street, I have to have that and more. No. But keeping up with fresh ideas and new witty inventions, because God delights in you being creative. He loves it. Why? Because we're mimicking God when we actually become and recognize us as co-creators with God. Because I was put here to create. I was put here to design. I was put here to shift my life and people's lives, but I'm also here to create an environment where the kingdom of God can come and reside in my life, and other people will see that and say, I want to be a part of that. I want what you have. Because we're here to make a change. And so today, I'm going to throw in some points to you guys I want you to think about when it deals with finding your life. The first thing you got to do, first of all, is find your vision. Don't lose yourself in a vision. When people tell me all the time, I'm just praying and waiting on God to give me a vision, I'm like, you know what? You're going to wait until the day you die because it's never going to happen. And most people look at me and say, wait a minute, what? Hold on. What are you talking about? But God gives these things. Here's the idea you have to remember. The Bible says something really cool, and it says, without a vision, the people perish. It never says God gives you the vision. Okay? It says, without a vision, people will perish, which means you got to cultivate your own vision for your life. Does God help you? Will God give you a download of what that vision looks like? Absolutely. But He's not going to force feed you. He's not going to spoon feed you because you're not a baby, right? Babies need to be spoon fed, only just a limited amount. People who are grown up and mature, they learn through the school of hard knocks, which means they learn through a tough life and they learn through a good life. They learn through rejections. They learn through abandonments. They learn through people loving them and they learn through people hating them. They learn from being fired on jobs. They learn from starting their own positions and being an entrepreneur. We learn from the journey of our experience, and the experience of your life does not always guarantee to have a good life. If you have a good life in the sense of never having anything bad happen to you, you are going to live a boring life, because the Bible says iron sharpens iron. We need to be sharpened by everything that comes our way, because everything that comes my way in my life, guess what? God brought into my life. Why? To awaken me, keep me on my toes, you know, which means keeps me sharpened, always keeps me, looking in different directions, never keeping me in a box where I'm living comfortably to where I never experience anything new. If the Bible says that God does a new thing, that means God is always wanting to do new things in your life, but you got to be positioned to receive a new thing. So if you want your business to expand, what do? You start cultivating a vision of how to expand it. You start looking for a purpose. Here's a key thing. When it deals with finding your vision, you also have to find your life's purpose. Why am I here? Now, it doesn't always mean I'm here to, win people to Jesus. Well, that's great and wonderful and true, partially true, but part of it also is bringing your life to a place where you're finding purpose for your family, purpose for you as an individual, purpose for your business. What purpose do I serve? For example, if I own, let's say, a health food store, okay? One of my friends mentioned to me the other day that someone had signed up to that owns a health food store and listens to the ministry and listens to the podcast and reads my books. I'm like, great, that's awesome. So let's say, for example, we'll take someone who owns a health food store. Okay, what is the purpose of a health food store? Well, the purpose is what? Having a vision to be able to let people to what? To not gain weight, to maybe lose weight, to maybe eat healthier, to maybe live longer. And so we have to bring forth purpose. So if I own a health food store, my purpose or my vision should begin to be this. I'm here to help people to slim up. I'm here to help people to live longer. I'm here to help people to get them off of, from being a diabetic. You know, I'm here to help people to not be overweight, and teach them how to be able to have their heart not have so much pressure on it from being overweight. I'm here to help people to where maybe they don't have so many headaches. You know, I mean, the idea is when you deal with health food stores, you're dealing with recognizing and having a vision for the body-soul connection, which means I need a purpose or I need a vision to know if I have a health food store, I want to be able to get people to be healthy, live longer, and be slim, and do what they need to do to where they understand that they can live a longer life, right? And the idea here is having a purpose. So my vision is, for my business would be, I want people to live longer. I want them to be slim in the sense of being healthier. I want them to be able to do this and be this. Why? Because I want people to be able to enjoy life and not be, you know, having to take so many pills every day to where they get older, they can't travel on a plane. They, you know, because maybe of this reason, or they can't, you know, do this, eat a piece of cake because maybe they're diabetic, or whatever the case may be. And so that's my vision for the store, but that's also a part of my purpose. And so my purpose is what? Let's take it further. What else can I incorporate within this business that will actually help people maybe to live longer? Well, let's see here. People tend to have headaches a lot. I could be able to find something that do that vision of new product that maybe would help people to maybe, let's say, be more relaxed. So in my business, let's say of a health food store, I want to be able to maybe bring in a little bit more of maybe teaching people the power to meditate. In other words, not be so overwhelmed and stressed out, you know, by every day, just little things they can do throughout the day. So I want to incorporate other things in the business to help people to sort of chill, help people to relax, to where they're not overwhelmed with anxiety and have so many headaches. And so I can maybe bring some books in the store, maybe on prayer or maybe more meditation, you know, and help people to sort of know what to do to chill, you know, to relax themselves during a tense moment or a very stressful moment. So you think of ways through that vision to be able to bring purpose that expands the soul and the body. Why? Because my main purpose for, let's say, for example, for a health food store is to what? Help people to live healthier. And there's so many branches that can come out of that. So the idea for me is what is my vision? What is my purpose here that is wanting me to be able to drive me to expand? What else can I incorporate that will help people to live longer? What else can I incorporate that will help people maybe with less headaches, less stress? What can I incorporate within my health food store that actually maybe gets people who are a certain type of having diabetes that can actually, you know, they can come off the medication. You know, what can I do maybe to incorporate something on losing weight? What can I incorporate as far as maybe does health food taste good? Does it not taste good? Most people look and say, and here's a great sort of misconception people have. Well, healthy food costs more money. No, it does not. It does not. It does not. I'm here to tell you from my experience, first of all, it does not. Certain brands might, but if you think of growing a garden, if you think that's expensive, then you know what? We need to talk about your finances. You can grow a garden. You know, vegetables are like easy to grow because, and it doesn't require hardly any money because they grow themselves, right? You think of all these different techniques and ideas of things to do that actually will help you. So what is the vision for health food store? I can incorporate maybe more, let's say, for example, an empowerment of knowledge. Hey, I can teach people. I can bring somebody in my health food store once a week and be able to show them this or that to maybe educate, help disciple, for lack of better words, people into what to do to change their lifestyle to where they can be healthy the rest of their life, right? And once again, that's just an example of someone I made up that actually that I've heard of who listens to the podcast that actually has a health food store, right? And so when we're dealing with finding a vision and purpose, we also have to begin to realize that's part of it for your business. But first, guess what? You have to begin to find that purpose within yourself. I always say, don't own a business unless you know how to practice it yourself. If something's become a revelation to you, then guess what? You want to own that business, right? Because if it works for you, that's your greatest revelation. Here's where people miss it. Let's say, for example, if I'm really interested in owning a health food store. Well, guess what? If that's going to come out of a deep passion out of me because maybe I learned to eat healthier. I learned to do things that caused me maybe to shape up my body and to do things. Because if I begin to have revelation on myself, for myself, of what of how to be able to feel better, live longer, sleep good, run the good race without being worn out and taking big, leaps of air because, you know, breaths because I can't even run five steps without being tired. No, you know what? So once the revelation hits me and I live out the revelation, then that's going to be a huge purpose for me, right? And it's going to birth forth a vision to own my own business in that genre. Of maybe, you know, health food store. Whatever it is for you that you look and you say, this worked for me. It changed my life. Whatever changed your life, that you know that truly was an eye-opening, mind-shifting thing for you, that's a huge part of a vision. Because guess what? You already have the purpose. Because whatever that revelation was that you learned in that certain situation or that certain, you know, whatever, guess what? You now have a purpose because you can speak from a firsthand experience. So whatever has changed your life, you know what? That's a great vision. It's a great purpose for you. Dive into that. Because when people hear you talking about it through your company, through your business, they're going to be like, you know what? You sold me. Because you're not trying to sell me anything, you know, from not living it out. You're speaking out of your own heart of what this or that did for you. So when it deals with finding a vision and a purpose, that's some of the great thing. And once again, guess what comes out of that? Finding your passion. Passion always comes out of something you've lived out. If you, let's say, for example, if you learned something about, you know, hey, I'm doing this over here and it's really working for me. It's making me good money. And it's become my passion because everybody, let's just face it, everybody's going to want more money. I've never in my life met a person who doesn't say, I don't really need any more money. Don't lie. That's a lie from hell because you know it's not true. Everybody wants to prosper and be in good health. I mean, no one ever says, man, you know what? I hope I'm the lucky ones one day that gets cancer. I mean, think about that. No one's going to say that, would they ever? No one's going to say, I really just don't want any more money. I want to be broke. I want to be able to suffer the rest of my life and just pray every day that God meets my needs. No, no one in their right mind is going to say that because abundance is in our DNA to be able to always want more of everything. When it takes you over to where that's all you think about, that's when the love of whatever it is begins to control you. That's what makes it wrong. But when you have a passion for something that works for you, and you know you have a vision that will help other people to work for them as well, then you will have no problem starting a business or getting a job because that passion has consumed you so much where it'll drive you crazy because it worked for you. And so a passion is one of the main things that thrust vision and even thrust forth purpose every single time. And the last but not least, one of the things I want to bring to your attention when it deals with sort of finding your life is find your tribe. When we think of community and tribe, whatever word you want to use for it, here's the key thing you got to remember. A person who doesn't have a lot of friends in the sense of, I don't know where I belong, I don't know if I should go to church, you know, I don't know where do I meet people, you know. When a person who doesn't know that will always be a person who's lost, will always be a person who really doesn't know themselves, much less their own vision for their own life. Why? Because you've got to find a good tribe or good community of people who will push you forward, people who will always believe in you, people that will sharpen you, people that will always challenge what you're saying. You know, when people come to me and say, my best friend, she always challenges me on what I'm saying. I think she's just jealous of me. Well, hold on a minute. Is she jealous of you? Or is she truly being genuine because she believes in you and knows that whatever it is, a spark or flame, you know, that's of your passion that's just coming to the surface now, she knows she's got to make it bigger because she knows or he knows that what that passion is or that little flame is within that thing you're thinking about, she knows it's still not enough. He might know that's still not enough to actually cause maybe a big corporation to come out of it, or a business to come out of it, or a ministry to come out of it, right? And so what do people do? What do friends do? They see that potential and they say, it's powerful, but it needs to be bigger. I need to challenge them to where they understand every angle of that, to where they understand even the negative side of that, how they're going to be able to deal with people who say, I don't believe in that. I don't know what to, you know, I don't think that's hogwash, right? The friends do that to one another because they know that you're not going to have a life that's going to just make you happy from a passion once you cultivate this vision to bring it into existence. They also know you're not going to be faced with just people who are going to pat you on the back and say, good for you. They also recognize and understand there will be people who will come against you and that will challenge you. And so if a friend challenges you, it doesn't mean they're jealous of you all the time. It means they see that this passion, this flame, this spark can become bigger. But in order for it to become bigger, you've got also got to be able to be faced with opposition. And they understand because they help you through even opposition to begin to say, you know what? I need this thing to be bigger to where you're seeing it in a positive light, you're seeing it in a negative light, and you're understanding how to begin to, quote unquote, defend your vision and your purpose here, you know, from people who might not see eye to eye with you. And so friends should do that. Not that friends, you know, can do that, but friends should do that. You should always be challenged by people who truly love you to say, this is a safe place for me and you. This is a safe place for you to meet, for me, you know, for you to share with your vision because I believe in you. However, if I believe in you and see your passion to want to do this or that over here, I've also got to begin to cause that thing to grow. And guess what, folks? When a woman gives a baby, it hurts. I hear some huffing, some buffing, some pain, some screaming, some, you know, squeezing their husband's hands. You know, hey, give me an epidural, guys. Come on, knock me out. Do something, right? I mean, because when women want to have a baby, they will tell you it hurts. It's pain there. And they've got to push forth through the pain. And the key thing is true people that are in your tribe or community that understand that level will know that you got to push through the pain, because if you don't, you're not going to survive. And so true friends will challenge you. And once again, don't always revert to the thing of they're jealous of me. They're very competitive. They're always trying to, you know, and here's the other thing I hear people say. They're always trying to put me down. No. Are they trying to put you down, or do they truly see what's in you that you see, but maybe they want to open it up broader? Are you with me? Always remember that, folks. People don't always against you. Sometimes people, God will send people to your life to say, I'm going to give you some pain. Let's see if you can push through it. Because if you can't push through it through one person trying to challenge you, don't think for a moment you're going to push through once something is public and open. And yet you've got more than one person coming against you, or more than one person challenging you, or maybe doesn't believe in you. And maybe they are jealous of you. And all of a sudden they're trying to shut you down, right? So if you can't handle it in a small thing, like the Bible says, be faithful to small things before you're faithful and ruler over many things. So friends that are ones and twos and threes should always challenge you, because they know if you can't overcome one person that's challenging you, that loves you to help you, you never overcome 20 or 100 people out there who are not trying to challenge you. They're trying to shut you down, right? And you're going to have to be able to be faced on a small scale before you can face something on a big scale. Now, when we deal with law of attraction, also about thinking positive, that's not being negative. It means people know that even through trials and tribulations, you got to think positive. Even through people coming against you that doesn't believe in you in the future, then guess what? You're going to have to birth forth a positive even out of all those negative comments coming against you. You know, imagine actors and actresses for a moment. If you think about people, you know, I was reading the other day, or watching, I think, a TikTok by with Ashton Kutcher and his wife, who's also an actress, and how the media and the public will just run with things, and they make up all these things. And one of the things they made up was, you know, she's leaving him and taking the children. And that was like in some tabloid that's not true. And it showed them doing like a parody, I should say, on, you know, sitting in the car. And she says, supposedly, I'm mad at you. Did you know that? And he's like, I didn't know that. She said, yeah. And they laugh about it. Then she says, and supposedly I'm taking the children from you. You know, according to this tabloid, he says, oh, well, okay, you can have them. And they laugh about it. And why is that? Because they know that media and magazines and newspapers and, you know, tabloids, they're always going to present bad things about people that actors and actresses will tell you it's probably not even true. But guess what? You have to learn to laugh and be positive even at the point of people making fun of you or saying she's on drugs now. She's hyped up on that cocaine, you know, and the tabloid. You know, because if an actress sees that, either they're going to have two things happen to them. They're going to fall apart and say, oh my God, I've never been on a drug in my life. And they're going to just give up and just exit this world. How, you know, whatever that looks like or what it means, or they're going to freak out, or either going to laugh at it and say, I know who I am, I know what I am, and that's one thing I don't do is do cocaine or drugs, whatever. So, you know what? No biggie. So even actors and actresses and singers have to begin to rise to realize, even through that pain of saying, wow, that could really hurt me by what somebody would say about me, and even saying, wow, that does hurt pretty deep, that a tabloid would say that about me or my husband or my wife, whatever. But they push through the pain because they understand the purpose of their life, and they understand their own vision. And second of all, they know they don't do that. So it's like, no big deal, right? So you have to begin to realize, as a believer, that people are going to do this to you. So you got to know your way. You got to know a tribe or a community of people who will stand by you regardless, and not, you know, give in to anything in a small way, because they know you're making it big. one day and they see the bigness in you. And so they want to push you through the small things to where and see, make sure you're not going to crumble and you're not going to give into it, because they understand true healthy relationships understand I have to challenge you. I have to sometimes play the devil's advocate because I've got to make sure that if you can overcome and master this small thing of a challenge, that when the big stuff comes to you and you're making the good big money and you and maybe you're now on national television or you have a store open up down the street or in the shopping mall, that when or if you are come against on a bigger scale, bigger level, you can be like, no big deal. As we say, easy breezy, just fly through it, because you don't attach yourself to other people's opinions outside of your community. You just don't do that. I never have attached myself to outside opinions of those who are truly not covenantal with me in my life. I don't attach myself to anyone that truly is not in my sphere of influence, or in other words, in my circle that I consider very close or best friends. I don't attach myself to anything or anyone outside of that. Do I love all people? Yes. Will I be there for anybody if they need help? Yes. However, I don't attach to an outcome even. Because I know things are subject to change, but one thing I do attach to are those that I believe are healthy for me, that I have chosen and I've seen through longevity. They've proven themselves to be with me through the good, bad, and ugly. And they challenge me. They believe in me. And they're not afraid to say, hey, I love this book, but I think this one chapter, this one paragraph, it doesn't fit you good. It doesn't really speak of what you're trying to say. Because they know me enough to know, and I know them enough to know, they truly love me. And that's going to help me. And so I'll go back and say, man, thank you for bringing that to my attention. Yes, let's put another version of this book out once I fix it. Let me go back and fix this or reread it for a moment, because I believe you're right. Maybe it doesn't speak of the subject I'm trying to say within that paragraph or that chapter, right? That's what people do. So I don't attach myself to people out there who might say, oh, I don't like him. I don't like her. You know, they're a heretic. They're horrible. They're a Christian. They're Buddhist. You know, what do they believe? But, you know, I don't attach myself to people like that. You know, I call them the crazies. I love them all, but, you know, I don't attach myself to crazy people, because if they don't know me, they're going to talk about me, you know, which I don't hear nobody talk about me. But I'm just saying, though, if they did, I won't fall apart anymore. I maybe 20 years ago might had, or, you know, would consider it, because I was attached to people's, you know, opinions. However, and what they thought about me. However, I've learned now to love, but transcend past people's opinions, because they don't know me. So how on earth are they going to speak any kind of truth outside of what they don't know, right? And so finding your life means you got to begin to realize you got to find your people, find your community, find your tribe, find people that don't agree with you, but find people who love you, not afraid to challenge you. Find the vision, find something that changed your life, because whatever changed your life means it could possibly change other people. Doesn't mean it will always change other people. And that's another thing with theology. You don't want to attach yourself to a belief system of how you see things. Now, some people in Christianity would disagree with me on that. However, let me make this very plain to you. If you attach to a belief of how you see a scripture, then let me tell you something. You have to remember, you can attach to it for yourself, but it's not fair, nor is it right to attach your belief or how you see of something to other people. Why? Because other people are going to see things differently. And if you truly believe in what you believe in your theology or script, how scripture is laid out, then just live it out. I always say, if you believe in something that's laid out like that, like a scripture is laid out before you, then you know what? If you believe it's laid out, then live out. Because if you live it out without opening your mouth, people will say, you know what? Something cool about you is genuine. So, you know, I don't know what you feel or believe, but you're always calm in a situation. Why is that? Then you know you're living it out, which will be more powerful to people when you begin to share, well, this is sort of how I feel and what's worked for me. Here's what I tell people. Whenever I see when I'm trying to find my life, which we're always trying to sort of, you know, getting to the zone of your life, but also then trying to understand how to be able to share the life that God has given you, that you're finding out about where you belong in your life. Here's what I always tell people. This is how I see it. I always present things like this. I say, well, this is how I see it, or this is what works for me. I use that terminology. I never use a terminology, this is what it says, this is the truth, because the truth is, you're going to change in 5 years. Your truth is going to evolve in 5 years anyway, or 2 years, or 1 year through situations and circumstances. Why? Because there's always evolving truth in the sense of expanded truth in you. If the truth sets you free, it's going to grow in you. Hello, right? It doesn't stay still or stagnant. And so finding your life is meaning that you're going to have to learn to evolve in beautiful things of your life, live out your passion, let your passion create a vision, and then you have a purpose to live out loud. And once you do it, people are going to be attracted to you left and right to say, I want what you have. What works for you? Why are you so happy? Why are you so at peace? You know, why is your business so successful? Because I believe in it. Because it worked for me. Therefore, hopefully, it'll work for you, however that should look for you. And that's how we do it. So I wanted to sort of share some of this today with you guys, because I'm a firm believer in really understanding the purpose, the potential, and then pursuing that to discover where I belong, what I'm called to be doing. And it doesn't mean when you find out what you're called to do, settle in that. Never settle in anything. It's like everything in life is like energy. Energy, and that means that energy is not created nor can it be destroyed, which means energy always flows. And so when I'm living out my purpose and my lifestyle of, you know, what I know is best for me, of what, how maybe where it's prospering me, I see fruit bearing forth and stuff. When I live that out loud, I always say to myself, but I'm not stopping. I'm always evolving. And since I am evolving and stuff, I have to realize these things that are part of my style of living will always change, because it's always going to evolve and it's always going to expand. So I always present it to people to say, this has worked for me, and it's also taken me further and deeper into things of life, and who knows where I will go once this truth and once these things that worked for me begins to, you know, carry me, because I don't know what's going where it's going to carry me, but I know it's going to carry me somewhere good, because I know God's in charge of it, right? So these are some points I wanted to present to you guys today, because I'm a firm believer that every one of you have what it takes to be successful, and success is going to look different to everybody else. To everybody, it's going to look differently. But I think once you find what success looks like for you, then you know what? Stick with that and just always say, I'm sticking with it as a foundation, but I'm also giving it the power to release itself to grow. You know, I'm giving it permission to grow, and I'll grow with it as it grows within me. And as I see things in life that I can add to it or take away from it, I'll always begin to evolve and grow in that truth and in my purpose and my dream. That's why you see some companies. Let me give you guys a great example before we close. That's why you see some companies, for example, like Netflix, that could have easily gone under. When everything went digital and everything began to go on, you know, live stream and stuff, Netflix, what? They totally metamorphosized themselves, and look at them now. You know, Amazon, if Amazon stayed on an idea of what, you know, Jeff Bezos had, it would have probably become a flop. It wouldn't probably exist by, you know, today. But he kept on creating. He allowed it to evolve. He listened to people who said it would be cool to have this. You know, he listened to people to say, man, I'm so tired of paying shipping and handling. Hey, let's do a website where they get free shipping. Let's do 2 days. 2 day, matter of fact, free shipping. People jumped on it. Hey, I wish so bad I could, you know, have it in the same day. Hey, what if we put, you know, warehouses in all these different cities and even do drones that would actually deliver it the same day? I mean, you know, so he kept on evolving. So he evolved in his truth to allow it to expand. So any business or anything out there in your life that you're living right now, if it's dying, it doesn't always mean it has to die. Sometimes it's just God saying, are you going to allow it to evolve? Are you giving it permission to evolve? And are you willing to change your style of living in a place where it's evolving with it to grow into modern times, to grow deeper or further and be more creative to expand and add this and maybe take away that? You've got to allow your life to be flexible. If not, whatever your style of living is, it will shut itself down quickly, and you'll find yourself back at square one. Always yield and be flexible to shift, to change, and evolving, because that's what God does. He evolves in our lives. He grows us, and He's constantly saying, "I'm bringing a new thing. I'm bringing a new thing. I'm bringing a new thing." So you got to begin to behold the new thing, run with it, act on it. But first of all, shift your mind to see something new be added to what you originally had. And your life will be a masterpiece, and you will always go from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from abundance to abundance, whatever it looks like, and success to success, whatever it looks like for you, the rest of your life. Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning into this podcast today. You guys are awesome. I believe in every one of you. I know every one of you has the potential to grow and expand whatever it is you're doing within your life. No matter what position you're on, if you're retired, if you own your own business, if you don't have a lot of money, if you have a lot of money, whatever the case may be, you have got it in you to grow and expand. Never, ever disrespect yourself and stop where you are. It's a total disrespect and it's a total dishonor to the authenticity that God has created you to be. Thank you so much. Don't forget to go to identitynetwork.net, sign up for our Hot Off the Press Monthly Book Club to get my book sent to your mailbox, you know, every month with free shipping. Also, if you need a prophetic word or prophetic reading, you know, I am here. You can sign up for that, give to our missions fund on the website, and I'll be glad to give you a prophetic word and see exactly what God's going to say to you. All right? Have a blessed day. We'll talk to you soon. And as always, don't forget to go and change and create the day you want to live out. God bless.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.